And now we'll meet a couple that took a very different approach to immigration and to foreign citizens than what the government favors today. In 1924, Frank and Josephine Duvenick saw a valley they liked in Los Altos Hills and bought it. The wealthy Palo Alto couple then built and ran what would become the oldest operating hostel in the country. During World War II, the Duvenicks opened their doors to refugees from home and abroad. And after the war, they started a multicultural summer camp for kids that continues running to this day. It's called Hidden Villa and includes an environmental education program and a working farm. In this piece from our archives, reporter Audrey Dilling talks to some of the original campers.
Mark Seidel and Elizabeth Bowden-Smith are leading me and some former campers on a tour of the grounds. We're walking through a meadow that looks like it could have inspired the setting of Bambi, if not for the herd of kids.
So I think it's appropriate that we start our little walking history tour here at the sort of opening of the valley, the wonderful hidden villa.
Eager campers dart around a patch of dewy grass, awaiting instruction from their outnumbered counselors.
Okay, so do you guys see...
Jean Geis is also on the tour today. She says not much has changed about the land since she participated in the first summer camp here in 1946. The smell has definitely stayed the same.
It's amazing, and I walk other places, and I smell it, and then I think, Duvenicks, Hidden Villa.
Geis's fond memories of the place actually begin before her first camp session, when she came to live with the Duvenicks under some special circumstances. In 1942, when the U.S. ordered everyone with Japanese heritage to leave the West Coast, Geis's family had to leave too. She and her mother moved to an internment camp in Utah. Her father volunteered to go fight the war.
And believe it or not, there was a lot of conflict in the camp because my father volunteered. And there were people who were unhappy about that. So you can imagine the strife in camp. People were angry. People were confused. But my mother said, we're American citizens. We are loyal.
In 1944, just as people were being let out of the camps, Geis's mother saw something in the local newspaper. Josephine Duvenick had posted an invitation to live and work at Hidden Villa to ease the transition back to normal life.
So Mom decided to go to the Duvenicks, accepted her invitation against the recommendation of many dear friends and her mother-in-law, saying that, you know, you might be shot.
Geis and her mother boarded a late-night train back to the Bay Area. Geis was six, and she had no idea what was waiting for her at the end of the ride.
This is our mother and daughter duo, Cleopatra and Maisie.
They said hello.
And they produce wonderfully rich milk. And
Hidden Villa was pretty much the exact opposite of where Geis and her mother had been living.
You've got to realize, in camp, we had no eggs. Everything was powdered. Powdered milk, powdered eggs. So when we came here and had that rich cream, could you imagine, after being in a dusty desert behind barbed wire, to come to a place like this where there were eggs from chickens?
Our tour swings by a cozy, dim barn that's home to some new chicks. Across from their pen is a larger coop with some layer boxes built into the walls.
It's just a wonderful experience to be able to open this up and take out a warm egg and pass it around, have the kids hold out their hands and they can feel the warm egg and see right where it came from. Their eyes get really wide and they get quiet and careful. It's pretty great to see.
Today, Hidden Villa sells the eggs at a local farmer's market along with their organic produce. They use the farm as a learning tool for campers and participants in an environmental education program that goes on during the school year. But in Geis's day, farm work was for the adults. She spent her time here climbing trees, riding horses, and sometimes doing chores. In her memoir, Josephine Duvenick wrote that Geis blossomed at Hidden Villa. And Geis agrees.
That was her observation. I went from this very withdrawn child to a very positive person, which I think I still am today.
Michael Hamilton also came to Hidden Villa in the late 40s. Though he hadn't met Geis before today, the two share some common memories. They recall a man named Julius Wall, who came to Hidden Villa after escaping the Nazis. And Hamilton was around for another significant visitor, Cesar Chavez.
I think I saw him once. I didn't remember meeting him. I may have shaken his hand, but I don't, you know. I was much more interested in horses. And
Chavez's presence is still remembered at Hidden Villa. Walking up a tree-lined path, we come across a counselor carrying proof.
Oh, look, one of our baby goats. Have we named them?
This is Cesar.
Is that after Cesar Chavez?
I think so, but we have Cesar and we have Harvey.
Well, Cesar Chavez actually came out and did organizing here. He organized the first farm worker strike and used Hidden Villa as a place, a safe haven, to do some of that organizing.
Oh, that's awesome.
So maybe that's why we called this goat Cesar.
Hidden Villa's rich history informs the mission it strives for today, to teach respect for others in the natural world. Seidel says it's the same thing the Duvneks were going for back in their day.
You know, the mission that the Duvneks had and they started were based on some of the same problems that we have today. It's not like the problems have changed. We still have a lot of people that don't respect each other. We have conflict based on lack of understanding, lack of appreciation, lack of respect, and we have natural resources dwindling. And so those were problems then. Those are problems now. Some of them may be greater. Some of them may be a little bit less, but those are always problems that we're going to be tackling. Yeah.
And until those problems go away, Hidden Villa will be here, taking them on one camper at a time. From Los Altos Hills, I'm Audrey Dilling for Cross Currents.